topic today, though, is full of it. And I want you to look at your neighbor and ask him, are you full of it? Are you full of it? I don't know if you know, but today's a special day. It's a special day. If you were to Google, what kind of special day is this? You know what Google says? Because it really depends on who you ask. Well, if you Google, what's so special about today? Well, it's Armed Forces Day, honoring the people who serve in the United States military. It's National Mimosa Day, celebrating champagne and orange juice and a drink. It's National Piercing Day, a day dedicated to celebrating body modification and showing off pierces. It is LGBT Elder Day, recognizing the pioneers of that movement. International Day of Light, highlighting the role of light in science, culture, art, education, sustainable development. This, if you ask Google, is what a special day like today is on May 17th. There's something else happening today, though, that if you just said, again, to Google, what's special about today, this isn't mentioned, that today, on May 17th, there are people gathering to rededicate America to God. Many people realize that this year is special because we have and are going to celebrate 250 years of being the United States of America, celebrating our independence. And so Christians are praying, Christians are fasting today, Christians are reading the Word, and they are rededicating the country to God, which is important for us to pause and to pray. We read in the beginning, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will restore their land. My eyes will be attentive and my ears to their prayer, every prayer made in this place. My people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open, my ears attentive to every prayer. How many of us this morning would say, yes, God, be, please, do you hear my prayers? God, please, I hope you're hearing me. I hope you're listening to me. 2 Chronicles, as God was talking and speaking to Solomon, he said, listen, there's only one way to be forgiven of sins, to have our land restored, and God to be listening, for our country, our lives to be blessed, to humble ourselves. What does it mean to humble ourselves? If you remember a few weeks ago, we started this theme, Jars of Clay. The very first question we asked ourselves is, who is God? Humbling ourselves is answering that question, who is God? If God is God, Creator, Almighty, Savior, Redeemer, that means I bow my life in adoration to Him. But if God isn't God, if we're an atheist, if we're agnostic, if we want to believe in 10 different religions, if we want to look at God as a buffet, it's all you can eat. I'm going to take a little here, I'm going to take a little here, I'm just going to put it all together. I'm going to create my own religion, as many do today. Then God is something, God is not a God really to that person. It's they think, without realizing it, they themselves are God. And many of us, without smacking ourselves on the head too much this morning, sometimes the decisions we make, also we think in our head we can do whatever we want, and we can't. If we humble ourselves, God, you are my God. Jesus, you are my Savior. I follow you. I trust you. I look to you. I believe in you. God, I'm waiting for you. To seek God's face, to seek God's way, to seek God's path, to seek God's direction, to turn from wicked ways, to turn from being selfish and living a life to God. Today, it's a day where we're celebrating a rededication of our country and giving it back to God. But where does it start? It really doesn't start with the country. It really doesn't start in America. You know where it starts? It starts in your heart. And it starts with asking the self, ourself, myself, yourself with the question, yes, we should fully give and believe that this country belongs to God. But more than a country, more than a land, what God is looking for, he's looking for your heart. And is our heart, is my heart, is your heart this morning? Can you say this morning, I am fully dedicated to the Lord. I wake up every day fully dedicated. Just like our jobs. It's what our bosses want from us, right? Believe me, had a long meeting on Friday. Once a month we have our sales meetings. Believe me, from the top of our corporation down every month, what are they instilling in salespeople? To be fully dedicated, right? That's what bosses want. Because the thing is, honestly in life, if you're not fully dedicated to something, you're not going to get anything out of it either. If you're not fully dedicated to God, you're never going to find what you're looking for. That's why it says, you're going to seek for me, you're going to find me when you what? Look for me with all your heart. How come I don't feel God sometimes? Because you're not looking. How come I don't see God? How come I don't feel God? How come I come to church and I'm not seeing hear anything? Well, ask yourself one thing. How's my attitude? How's my attitude? How's my heart? Rededicate our country to God. It starts with rededicating maybe ourselves to God, to God's word, to the things that we know God has put us on this earth to do. And so this morning to get started, before we jump into our main text, we're going to pause for a second. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to bless our country, to bless us. But maybe also take a second to say, God, in the rededication of this country, is there any part of my life that I need to rededicate to you? Let's pray. God, we pause this morning. God, as we believe, God, in you. God, we believe in your word. God, we believe that you have a plan and a purpose for every one of us. God, that there's future, there's hope, there's salvation, there's grace, there's mercy, there's healing, there's provision. God, there's so many things, God, that you have for every one of us. God, and we're thankful, God, that you love us and that you care for us. God, that you died for us. God, that you prepared the way so that we can go to heaven. God, we take time to just stop this morning. We thank you that we're here, we're alive, we're living, we're breathing. God, and we give, God, this country to you. We ask that you would bless the United States of America. That you would bless the principles that this country was founded on. It was faith in God, faith in God. God, so we pray that our hearts would be turned back to those guiding principles, that it's faith in you, that it's faith in it's one nation under God. It's one nation under God. God, but we also stop and ask ourselves, is there any part of me, God, that I need to rededicate myself back to you? God, if I've had a bad attitude, if I've been a little bitter or angry, if I've been a little fearful or worried, God, if I've been a little lost, if I'm doing something I shouldn't this morning, the greatest thing that God is looking at this morning, it says God searches the whole earth. God searches the whole earth. For what? To find a heart that is fully connected to him. And so we're here this morning, just in the silence. It's in the silence. It's a great moment to say, God, I'm giving myself back to you. I know in this area, maybe, God, I haven't been fully committed, but I'm giving myself back to you this morning. God, we worship you and we praise you. We do thank you that you've put us here for a time and a season and a reason just as this. God, that in the next 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the things that you're going to do if we're still here, if we haven't gone on to be with you, or if you haven't come back. God, the things that you're going to do in the years to come. God, so many awesome and amazing things. So we're thankful, God, that we're here to see it. God, we're not just sitting down in a movie theater watching the ride as it unfolds your story. God, but we're a part of it. We're all actors. We're all players in this game and in this show called life that you have made. God, so we're thankful this morning that you've made us a part. God, we give ourselves to you. Bless this day. Bless this country. May we make the right choices every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So to continue in our theme, jars of clay, so excited. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this light shining in our hearts. We ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Containing a great treasure, a great power. What are some of the things people like about themselves? You know, there's a number of things people like about themselves. It's a big combination. Personality traits, emotional strengths, physical attributes, kind and compassion, resilient and grit. I'm a survivor, staying committed to recovery. I don't give up. My humor, my sense of being able to make people laugh. Authentic, I'm real, I'm bold, I'm honest, I'm true to myself. Not care what others say or do or judge me. Confident, curious, I'm adventurous, I'm a quick learner, I'm open to learn new things. I'm loyal, I'm trustworthy, being able to find solutions quickly to obstacles. Creative, and music, writing, cooking, and art. I'm adaptable, ability to handle changing situations like a chameleon, adapting to people and circumstances. People, of course, what they like about themselves are their physical features, their eyes, their hair, their smile, their body, their muscle, their fit, their dedication to health and personal growth, taking care of myself. If we were to list our priorities this morning, our daily priorities, if we were to list out our daily priorities, what would they be? We know that self-care, sleep, eating, exercise, movement, planning, organized, learning, downtime. They are really, truly, probably the top priorities of every single day. Do you know that people who read their Bibles 4 or more times a week, they experience profound changes? People who read their Bible 4 or more experience profound changes. People reading their Bible 4 or more times a week, they have a 30% drop in loneliness, 32% drop in anger, 40% drop in bitterness, 60% drop in wasting time on a cell phone, 60% drop in spiritual stagnation. People who read their Bibles. Have you ever heard a believer, or so-called believer or Christian say, I don't need to read my Bible. I already know God. Right? I don't need to read my Bible. I know it all already. People who read their Bible 4 or more times a week, significant drops in their health, their well-being, and their mind. Well, that leaves, you know, in America, one out of five Americans read their Bible every day. 1 out of 5 Americans read their Bible every day. 1 out of 5 read their Bible every day. And with that, we turn to our main text this morning, which is Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. The servant, I'm not going to start there. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants, and he trusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, divided in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, and he earned 5 more. Verse 17, the servant with 2 bags of silver went to work and he earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver, he dug a hole in the ground, he hid the master's money, and after a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. Now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate. Woo! Time to party. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you're a harsh man. You're a mean man. Harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. 25. I was afraid I'd lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. But look, here's your money back. And the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I couldn't have gotten some interest on it. And then he ordered, Take the money from this servant. Give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they're given, even more will be given. They will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing the teeth. This morning, we continue in our theme, Jars of Clay. We're discovering our topic, which is full of it. Jesus describes a story. The first thing he describes is there is a day of distribution. The master giving out 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, resembling a talent at this time was 20 years of wages. 1 talent equaled 20 years of wages. So a talent was given out 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. So even the guy who was given 1 was 20 years. Would you like today to be given 20 years of wages? Probably depends, you know, what kind of wage you make, right? But 20 years of pay would be sure wonderful. So Jesus describing this talent, just like when God created the world, God created humans, God created male, God created female, and then what did he do? He gave each human a purpose. He gave each human a plan. He gave each of us a direction. Just as Jesus is describing in this parable, it's the description of creation of the world. So there's the distribution. Secondly, there's the action. For 2 of them anyway, there was 2 guys. They took what was given and they doubled it. 2 guys took. They were given. Here's some money. They were given. They were given. They were given. And they took it, and all they simply did was did with something with what they were given. We know the other guy, out of fear, anger, resentment, comparing, feeling inadequate, insecure, turning to anger, rebellion, he takes and he hides what was given to him and he puts it in the ground. Kind of like 1 out of 5 Americans read their Bible every day. So if we were to look at the parable of the talents and we were to look at this story, and we were to look at the thought and this thing of supposedly 1 out of 5 Americans only read their Bible every day. 2 guys were given a responsibility and they did something with it. 1 guy decided to do nothing. If 1 out of 5 Americans read their Bible every day, 1, we would probably say, is kind of like the guy, or the 2 guys were given the talents and he did something with it. But 4 out of 5, unfortunately, were more like the people who were giving something and did nothing with it. 1 out of 5 Americans reading their Bible every day. And we're going to include the Bible app in that. The Bible is on our phone, Bible app, right? So I'm not saying you have to open up the Bible. We have our phones. We're busy. We live busy lives. And so we can easily open up the phone. We can easily open up the Bible. And we can read a chapter. We can read a verse. 1 out of 5 Americans today read their Bible daily. 1 out of 5 Americans. The Bible stands for a couple things. 1, basic instructions before leaving Earth. 1 day, You were given the opportunity to be alive, to be here. So God gave you an instruction manual, how to live while you're here, but also to give you directions how to get to where you need to go next. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's a map. It's a battle plan. It's to preserve life. It's to find an abundant life. It's to find a blessed life. Doing something that God has given to me, and I do something with it. Yes, a book. We see in our text today there was reward and consequence. We see two guys were rewarded. They were given double of what they originally were given. Rewarded. But we also see on the other side that with reward, there's also consequence when a person decides, I don't have to do. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to. I don't want to. I don't have to. I don't want to. I can't. Over and over and over and over again. God's word, it's clear. It sparks action. And without action, faith, belief, it's dead. That's why you see people. That's why you see us sometimes. When we slowly just stop reading the word every day. Slowly stop praying. Slowly just start pulling away from God. Until smack! What? Something happens. And then all of a sudden our heart's brought back to God because something happens. There's responsibility with God's blessing. How many of us know that when you have a job, you're supposed to learn to be responsible with that job? If you have a room in your house, what do you have to do? You have to be responsible with what you're given in your room. If you're given a car, you have to learn to drive responsibly or what? You can lose your license. Every part of life, how many of us have seen there is responsibility everywhere we go, everything that we do. This beautiful place, man, you can drive to the mountains and look down and it is vast and it's beautiful and it's amazing. The creation that we live in. You can go to the beach and the waves and the sound of them crashing on the shore. It is a beautiful scene. Everything that God's given to us. But to understand there is responsibility with his blessing. There is a responsibility. I have to take care of what he's given me. If I decide I don't have to, if I don't have to, I don't have to plant seeds today. I don't need to put the shovel in the ground today. I don't need to work today. I don't need to do this. Then I am foregoing responsibility. If we look at our text today, there was three men, two men that were rewarded. Why? Because they took responsibility. And one man, not rewarded, paid a consequence. He says, I don't have to do anything. I don't like my boss, so I don't have to work. I don't like what John's saying, so I can tune him out. Right? I don't like what's being played on the radio, so I turn the dial. This is what we do. When we don't like something that bothers us, what do? We turn it out. We close our ears. Typically, when we don't want to hear the truth, we shut off or close away. This man, he had a responsibility. He was given 20 years of wages. Yeah, it wasn't the five. Yeah, it wasn't the two. But he still was given 20 years worth of wages. And for whatever reason, it said there was fear. We know that fear turned to anger. He didn't like his boss. So because I don't like somebody, that gives me the right to not do anything. What's that sound like? Sounds like a lot of people today. What was America built on? Hard work and sacrifice. But what's America trying to be built on now? Comfort and whatever feels good for me. We wouldn't be where we are today, let's be honest, with some of our hearts, with some of our words, with some of the way we live our life. We wouldn't have America if we were running it 50, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Hard work and sacrifice. Bloodshed is what this country is built on. How many people enjoy the freedom of America today, not realizing, not caring what it took to get America to this point? I'm willing to not complain, buck it up, take responsibility, and get to work. I got to get to work. I got to get to work. The text that Jesus shared, two men were given a responsibility, and they did something with it. And because they did something, what? They were rewarded. The other man, for whatever reason, do we honestly think this morning we can stand before God and say, I just didn't feel like preaching. God, I didn't feel like it was my duty that I had to tell someone that they needed to shut up, that they were being rude. Do we want to stand before God and give an account for all the things we didn't do along the way? We can't go back and change the past. We can't go back and change yesterday. Yesterday has come and gone. But you know what we can do? I have the present right now, and I can make sure that I'm ready today, tomorrow, this week. Whatever God tells me to do, whatever He puts in front of me this week, I need to get to work. I need to get to work. I need to put my head down. It's time to grind. It's time to work. It's time to sweat it out. Because reward only comes to those who are willing to do something. There's responsibility that comes with God's blessing and God's gifts. Do you know today there's two kingdoms being built? We know that there's the kingdom of God. We know there's the kingdom of heaven, right? Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. But there's also another one referenced, which is what? The kingdom of this world. The kingdom of the world, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of the world, kingdom of heaven. And if all of us this morning are contractors and we've been building, which one have we supported a little bit more? If there's the kingdom of the world, which is all going to pass away, it's all going to be destroyed. And then there's the kingdom of heaven, which will last forever. We ask ourselves, honestly, which one have I supported more? Does God want us to live? Yes. Does God want us to have fun? Absolutely. But there has to be one thing driving every one of us more than anything, and that is to live for God above. I live for God. I live for His kingdom. God created us to be responsible with the blessing that comes with the message of Jesus Christ. And if not, to understand there's consequences. Jesus said, you're for me or what? You're against me. You're for me or against me. This message, there's so many good things in here. Loving, kind, sweet, gracious. But there's a lot of things in here that are also harsh. A lot of things that Jesus said that are not going to make us feel warm and fuzzy. He confronted evil and sin. He confronted hypocrisy. He confronted the religious. He confronted a lot of things. And so we have to look at it all and sometimes ask ourselves, maybe I got stuck on the wrong track. Hard work, no compromise. One of my favorite books ever by Keith Green, No Compromise. I'm not giving up. I have to push myself to be humble. God, whatever you ask, God, whatever you want me to do, God, my purpose, simple, is to what? Make heaven crowded. That's it. To know God, to make God known. To know God, make God known. Know God, make God known. To make heaven truly crowded. That's our purpose. It is hard work. No compromise. No giving up. God, I'm humble. I bow down before you. Whatever you want me to do, God, I am ready. There's a guiding light in every one of us. There's principles in every one of us. There's thoughts in every one of us. There's emotions in every one of us. There's filters in every one of us. And not saying we're crazy, but there's voices in every one of us. And all these things contribute to what we do every single day. What is our guiding light? What is our driving force? What's the thing, our purpose and our plan? Have any of us ever become like stuck in the mud? I can't, I won't, and I don't. Heck no. I don't have enough, so I can't do it. I don't have enough, so I can't. Life's not fair. If I don't get what I want, when I want, where I want, then I'm just not gonna do it. Do you think that's the attitude God wants us to have? If I don't have enough, I can't do anything for Him. If I don't have enough, I can't give a little bit of my money. Is that the attitude God wants us to have? We're always stuck sometimes in thinking, if I don't have, then I can't do. Or does God want us to just accept where we are, and this is what I need to do? This is what I have to make the best of. This is what He's put me on the earth for, and I need to maximize every single thing. How many of us have ever been afraid to fail? How many of us have ever been afraid to look stupid? How many of us have ever been afraid to sound stupid? How many of us have ever had our pride hurt and just not going to do it again? I'm not going to offend other people. If I share the Bible, if I share the truth, what if I offend somebody? What if I hurt somebody because I'm trying to share Scripture with them? So let's ask ourselves this morning, would we rather let somebody burn in hell, or should we try our very best to give them the truth? There's heaven and hell coming, but if we're honest, there's heaven and hell people who are living in both of those right now. We're allowing people to live in a hell lifestyle because maybe we're not giving them the truth. And maybe some of us in here this morning, there's hell-ish, dark-ish things that we're allowed in. And so it's stopping us from being the light of the world. It's not my job to tell us the truth. Whose job is it? Whose job is it really to share the truth? Whose job is it to share the truth of God's word? God gives us gifts, ability, reward, and blessing. He gives us talent and the ability to talk. But in that, this text that we read today, the biggest thing that's important to understand, God needs us to actively nurture every single thing that He's put in us so that it can grow. Every single thing that He's put in us, to nurture it, to utilize it. Because what you don't use, like the man in the story, he wouldn't use his talent. So what did he do? He lost everything that he had. And so this morning, as we start to wrap up, I'm so excited about my visual aids today because it's just super, super exciting. How many of us would recognize this right here? Oops. Now this would be what? An empty Starbucks cup. Some of us would call that, it's a tragedy. It's the end of the world, kind of. I got to the bottom, and there's nothing left. Somebody drank this yesterday. At one point, it was full, but now it's empty. If you were to try and sell this, I wonder what kind of value. What would you buy this for? If I begged and pleaded with you, if we had an auction, who's my highest bidder? Can I get $20 for this empty Starbucks cup? Probably not. The plastic itself, it's about 40 cents. What the company pays for the cup and the lid, it's about 40 cents. But most of us in here this morning, the value that we perceive, we wouldn't pay 40 cents for this. I don't know if any one of us right now would say, yeah. I'm happy to give you 40 cents for this empty cup that has your germs on it. Maybe. There's no perceived value with this right here. Now, if you were to look at this, here's a strawberry refresher with lemonade and a shot of energy. Oh yeah, super good. The perceived value, this costs 40 cents. This is like $6. Now the perceived value has what? It's gone up. And why has the value gone up? Because it's what's in the inside. It's what's on the inside. Remember my title today. What is it? You're full of it. You're full of it. Perceived value, 40 cents. None of us would really want this cup. We might have a need, maybe put a little dirt, rocks, maybe we want to chuck it at somebody. But there's not a lot of value in this empty cup. Now, if I didn't take a drink of this, I'm sure one of you might have gave me a dollar for it. That's more than that empty cup right there. If I didn't touch this cup, I'm sure I would have had someone that said, I would give you something. Because the perceived value has now gone up because what's on the inside. This wonderful mason jar right here. This mason jar, it's empty jar. Now this is probably more important than this. We go to a different type of container. This container empty doesn't mean so much. This container, remember, 40 cents, but probably none of us would give 40 cents because we wouldn't care. This is worth $3, empty. You could get a six pack. There's companies that will sell you 12 of these, six or 12, empty. They come with lids. Mine doesn't have a lid this morning. So the perceived value, I am sure, I'm almost positive, if you were forced to buy this or this, most of us in here would say, I'll buy the mason jar. I'll buy the mason jar. Why? Because your perceived value of the container is different here than it is here. $3. But what if we take that $3 jar and we fill it with $100? Now, I'm pretty sure your perceived value of the mason jar, just what? It went even higher. So if you were to take an empty container, I think all of us in here would agree this morning, it makes a difference what I fill it up with. I could take a $3 jar. It's actually quite heavy. I could take a $3 jar by itself, still worth $3. Still could probably get a buyer here, at least would give me $2 value. But if I was to take that jar one last time, and you notice there is some copper in here, but there's a lot of quarters. A lot of quarters in here. The value of this mason jar has now shot up over $100 because of what I filled it with. What I filled it with. Lastly, we have a vase. And how many of us know vases are awesome? They're amazing. But what do we do with a vase? Do we just put a vase on a table and let it sit by itself? Does it look a vase by itself? Ah, is that so pretty? You're such a pretty vase. Some people probably talk to their empty vases. There's probably a few wackos like that who are like, ah, I love you, vase. You're so clear and beautiful by yourself. But more people prefer to take a flower and to put it in their vase. And what happens with this vase now? Now it has color. Now it has life. This morning, see, we're in a theme. It's called what? Jars of clay. And we haven't even got to the good part yet. We haven't even got to this treasure, the power that's talked about in our theme verse. Because there's some things that have to be settled before you get to the good stuff. You have to have settled in your mind, who is God? Can I live and do whatever I want? Yeah, but there's going to be some consequences. If I live and do what God wants, then there's going to be some rewards. So I have to have settled in my head, it's God I wait for, it's God I pray to, it's God I live for, God I read your word, the instruction book, the map. everything, the battle plan, I have it. I am committed. I'm dedicated, God, to your plan, to your purpose, because you're God. I am just a man. God, I'm just a man. I'm here because you put me here. You have to have God settled. If you do and live whatever you want, I got to live to what makes me happy. I got to live to make me whatever feels good. Whatever feels good. Whatever's happy. Whatever's comfy. Then you yourself are the God that you live for. If everything revolves around you, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, you don't live for God. You're living for the God inside, which is you. You can't get to God's greater treasure. You can't get to God's mighty power. You can't get to understand the perceived value of the container that God's given to you unless you understand who is God. Number two, our second week, first one, who's God? Second week was what? Who's the devil? And why is that important? Because no matter how many good, wonderful things God has for every one of us, the devil lies to us all day long, 7 days a week. He's the accuser of the brethren. He likes to inspire. He likes to lie. We know he cheats and he steals. So no matter how many good things God has for you, if you were to believe a lie, you just lost out on it all. It's like that lie. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to do anything. God's put us here to work. But where's that lie of the devil? I don't need to do anything. Where's the reward? It's in the action. It's in doing something. Where's the consequence? When we say, forget it. I don't have to do nothing. I don't got to do nothing. To get to where God needs you to go, God has to be settled in your life, but you have to learn to know the devil's lies. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. If any one of us in here this morning said, you know what? The devil never lies to me. The devil never lies to me. If you don't think or understand that the devil lies to you, you've already believed the lie. The devil lies to every one of us. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. He doesn't want you to enjoy time on earth. And he wants you to destroy other people's lives. Those are his three goals. Don't go to heaven. Don't enjoy your time on earth. Don't do what God wants you to do and hurt other people. And then thirdly, the third week we asked ourselves, well, who am I? Who am I? And who am I leads us into ours today, which is, again, the topic, you're full of it. Because every one of us were given a container and a vessel to live in. But it all depends what we fill it up with to be who we are, to maximize what we get. What we put in it determines the reward or the consequence. What we put in our container, what we put in there, would we rather be an empty glass vase? It's still pretty, beautiful. It's still nice by itself. But what happens if you put a flower in there? What? The color brings it to life. If you want to be an empty Starbucks cup all your life, I'm only worth 40 cents. Because nobody's going to buy me anything more. Nobody's going to buy me anything more, so I'm just worth 40 cents. Nobody's giving me anything. Nobody helps me out. I'm just worth 40 cents. Or, you can say, you know what? I'm going to work a little harder, and then I can spend the $6. If I work just a little bit harder, I can be filled with energy strawberry and lemonade. Just working a little bit harder. All right, just be 40 cents. I could just be 40 cents. What have we filled our life with? If we look at ourselves as being a container this morning, because we're all full of something. Not to be gross, but all of us are going to use the restroom today. And we know what people call that. We're all full of it. We are. But the thing that's important and the thing that you have to ask yourself, okay, I am full of it. What exactly am I full of? Am I full of myself? So I got to demand my way because it's myself. I'm not going to serve any people. They can serve me because I'm full of myself. One out of four people in America read their Bible every day. And if we're not the one, if we're the four, that means there's going to be more struggle. Do you remember the percentages? 30 to 60% drops in negative behavior by just reading the Bible every day. 30% in loneliness drop. 32% drop in anger by reading the Bible every day. 60% drop in wasting time on phones and technology by reading the Bible every day. 60% drop in people who are stuck in the mud by reading their Bible. It's crazy with what one little thing does. If I fill my empty container with God's word, wow, there's no limit to what I can do in life. Our text today was three people. And three people in our text today were given a talent. Some were given more than one talent. We know that two men actually did something with what they were given, and they were rewarded. This story talks about Jesus describing life. We're not saved. We're not saved. God doesn't say, "Welcome to heaven," because you went out and gave food to the homeless. That's a good thing. But you're not going to get saved by feeding the homeless. By being, believe it or not, a good person. You're not going to make it to heaven by being a good person. You're not. By being a great family member. I'm a good family member. I'm kind to everybody in my family. Except for Uncle Joe, you know, because he's just a little weird, right? We all got one. But I'm a good family member. Other than that, I'm a good family member. You are not going to go to heaven because you're a good family member. The only way you get to heaven is by believing in your heart, in Jesus, in God's plan, and then confessing it with your mouth. I believe in you, Jesus. But it's in that confession, it's in your heart, the amount of faith that you say it with that determines if you really get it. I can say I believe in Jesus every day, 24/7. But if I don't ever read my Bible, if I don't ever talk to anybody about Jesus, does it show that I really believe? Absolutely not. That's why Jesus' half-brother James said, "Listen, we're not saved by works. But if you do nothing for God, you're probably not saved." Jars of clay. Today, our topic and our theme is, what am I full? Because we're all full of it. And what you put yourself, what you allow to put in you, it determines reward or consequence. How many more years do we have on this planet? How many more years do we have of living? I'm pretty sure God wants us to maximize whatever time is left. How do we maximize? What's he asking us to do? He's asking us to get to work. And that doesn't mean just with our jobs, paying bills. You know, 64% of people struggle today with purpose and identity. 64% of people, humanity, struggle with purpose and identity. Over a billion people on the planet struggle to know who they are. So we know 64% of Americans struggle with purpose. What's my purpose? What's my identity? And over a billion people on the planet struggle to know who I am. What's identity? Identity is a belief system. It's quality. It's personality traits. It's thoughts and values who make us up. Patterns of thoughts. Patterns of feelings which cause me to act every day. Who I am. Where I live, where I work, where I go to school, what I have in the bank, my spiritual or my political or my professional careers. Many of these things define people for who they are. And many of those things have no value unless you put in the container the right stuff. Are we filling ourselves this morning with the right stuff to make sure that we're maximized each day to be what God wants us to be? We're full of it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're full of it. You're full of it. How we live, how we speak, how we love, how we forgive, how we serve. There's reward, or there's consequence. Let's pray.